KLYT Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
ABQ Connect is sponsored in part by Bosque Home Services, heating, cooling, plumbing, roofing, and restoration services. 505-444-7200. That's 505-444-7200. Or on the web at HVACAlbuquerqueNM.com. Bosque Home Services, locally grown, locally owned. Thank you for your support of KLYT and our show, ABQ Connect. And we are joined on the show by Brian Cochran. He's a certified financial planner and the president of John Moore Associates. Our topic today is investing in commodities. How you doing, Brian?
Things are good. I love the topic today, Jim. Good pick.
Well, I get these calls, and I also get emails from listeners, and we want to keep those coming. My email address is jim@abqconnect.online. By the way, people can also drop us a text message if they like by dialing 505-585-5483. And that is something that we may not be able to get to your questions today, but we can get to them on every Friday when Brian joins us. Brian, I understand you have one of your financial advisors in the Arizona office, expert on commodities. Introduce him for us.
Yeah, so Greg Hartenbauer works in our Arizona office and has for the last 5 years. And he actually started his experience in the financial industry on the Chicago Exchange, actually built a lot of experience in the commodity space. So I thought, who better to bring in and share some of his experience and wisdom and help us better understand this really complex and unique part of the investment markets.
Yeah. Greg, welcome to ABQ Connect.
Jim, Brian, thanks so much for having me. I got very excited when Brian mentioned this topic because I don't get to talk about my early financial days too often. And so very much looking forward to the opportunity to share with the listeners about it.
Well, Greg, I got to start with the basics. Tell us, what are the commodities that are traded?
So really, almost anything that you interact with or that listeners interact with on a daily basis are traded as commodities. So things like precious metals, gold and silver, right? Industrial products, copper for pipes, lumber in your homes, foodstuffs that run the gamut from grains like corns and soybeans to beef, pork bellies, energy products, oil, natural gas, fuel, financials, interest rate, stock indices, right? So if you just think about all the things you've interacted with in your day so far, between what you had for breakfast, what you put in your car to get to the office, whatever it might be, commodities have played an impact, right? And they are globally traded. So as Brian mentioned, I grew up in Chicago, and so that's where I got my experience. But the four main hubs are Chicago, New York, London, and Singapore.
I apologize for interrupting.
Yeah, no, that's okay. So they're basically traded around the clock, all around the world. And the last I checked, there's about a six-hour window on Sundays when there is no commodity trading taking place at all. But outside of that short window, it happens all the time.
Now, are there instances, Greg, where you make commodities part of a financial plan for investors?
You can, and I think that that's something that we want to make sure we do talk about today. But what I thought might not be a bad idea was to really talk about what a futures contract is, so that everyone's kind of on the same page, and then we can talk about how does that compare with other alternatives and how it might fit within an overall portfolio. Would that be okay?
That would be great. Greg, I want to mention an interview that we did with Brian, and Brian will recall this. I think it was a couple of Fridays ago. And Brian was talking about the lumber futures, and all of us that have been involved in the home market and have been anywhere near building a new home, we know that since January of this year, lumber prices have gone up literally as much as 65-70%. And Brian, I think you shared that the futures, which were projected out, what, to September or October, actually showed some decline in that pricing.
Yeah, those prices have absolutely plummeted over the last couple of weeks. So a good thing for home builders, home buyers, anybody who needs to pick up a 2x4 at Home Depot, those prices are correcting quickly.
Yeah. So, Greg, tell us, what does it mean to buy a futures contract?
Okay. So a futures contract is really pretty simple and straightforward. What it does is it gives the buyer of the contract the right to purchase the underlying commodity at a fixed date and a fixed price in the future. And that's really where the name comes from, right? Futures, mm-hmm. futures contract. Okay. So example, I look today and December corn futures are trading for $5.56 per contract. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what that does is that gives me the buy. If I buy one contract, I'll get, if I take delivery, 5,000 bushels of corn and I've locked in a price of $5.56 a bushel. So that basket or that those 5,000 bushels will cost me about $28,000 if I decide to take delivery.
Mm.
Okay.
Now, when you say you have a contract, though, does that mean you have to buy those? I guess I'm coming back to this lumber thing. I'm worried that the price of lumber went up so exponentially over the last 6 months, and now it seems to be dropping. So if you bought a futures contract at a higher price, that's a pretty risky investment.
Indeed it is. So, no, you don't have to hold the contract to expiration, and the overwhelming majority of them are not. They are typically traded, right? And traded daily. So for someone who's trading futures, they may buy and sell 5 to 10 to 20 times a day, and at the end of the day, they don't own anything, nor do they own any contracts because they're what's considered flat, and all they've tried to do is take advantage of price swings throughout the day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, so the real key to your point or your earlier comment about lumber is these are also very highly leveraged. Hmm. And that's a very important thing for anyone who's considering this as an investment or a trading alternative is that in a futures contract, you can essentially lose more than your initial investment. And that's really the big difference between stocks and futures. Because if I buy, let's say, 100 shares of a $25 stock, I know that my $2,500 is the most I'm at risk at in that scenario if the stock goes to zero. Because of the leverage in futures, if we used a similar example, I don't have to put down as much. I get a lot more control and leverage over the underlying asset. But if it goes against me, then the people who hold my account are going to call and say, Greg, you either need to sell this thing and or bring additional monies into your account. So it can be very risky, and again, leverage, we just need to understand there's two sides to that, right?
Greg and Brian, I hope you're not offended by this, but this sounds an awful lot like trying to figure out who's going to win, the Suns or the Bucks.
Yep.
Well, I might be a little biased since I'm in Arizona, but we'll
hold
off on that one.
And Jim, we've talked in the past about the difference between wise investing based on principles and process versus greedy speculation. And what I would encourage the listeners to understand is that there's a lot of people that have learned hard lessons about trading commodities because they are doing greedy speculation and not process-driven long-term investing, and there's a big difference. And I think part of why commodities are being asked about is in the last year, I've got a list of different commodities here. Energy prices, oil is up 70%, natural gas is up 100%, coal is up 150%, aluminum's up 50%. So you see these recent gains, and people start looking at that. However, in the last 10 years, if we think of it as a long-term investment, crude oil prices are down 20% plus. Copper is down 2%. Coal is up 18%, but that's over 10 years. And if you compare that, for example, to the S&P 500, which is up about 230% over the last 10 years. Now, that's been an unusually good run, I'll give you that. But oftentimes we see these commodities can be good in the short term, but may not add the value you're hoping for in the long term. And if you catch it on the wrong side, on the downside, especially if you're leveraged, as Greg mentioned, there can be substantial risk that you take on as an investor.
Either one of you, please address this question. Why do some people, for example, when they want to invest and they want to buy physical gold as opposed to the futures on gold?
I'll touch on that, and Greg, you feel free to fill in a little bit. There's a lot of ways you can participate in the price of gold by buying different securities. The reason most people like to buy physical gold is because they consider it sort of a doomsday metal. If things go really bad and I can't, you know, if there's no electricity so I can't trade, or the market's shut down, or, you know, if there's things going on in the world and I need something physical to be able to walk to my neighbor or walk to a marketplace and transact an actual physical metal for a good or service, then that's why they want the physical piece. If you just believe that gold prices are going to go up, it's actually typically more tax efficient, more cost efficient, and a heck of a lot easier to simply trade gold products on your IRA or your joint account with your spouse, you know, where you can simply buy and sell during the day and not have to take possession, store, and pay high spreads to transact physical metals.
Yeah. Greg, are you still really interested in commodities and things? Do you follow those as part of your role with John Moore Associates?
I tend to follow more of the financial indices, so the S&P 500, those kinds of things. We keep an eye on them, absolutely. I am not nearly as involved as I was when I worked there. But, yeah, we keep an eye on things as part of the bigger overall picture, absolutely.
Well, I can't let either one of you go without, you know, at least talking a little NBA, Brian. Are you since your Portland Trails Blazers aren't there, are you supporting the Suns? Because Greg's already made his position clear.
Yeah, I would love to see the Suns win this thing. I just like the character of their team. I like a lot of their players. And I think it'd be fun to see a team that went through a lot of struggles over the last, you know, 20-plus years, come back and take it all the way. It's actually funny. We were digging through old boxes when we made a recent move, and we found my wife had a Suns hat from back in the 90s when Charles Barkley was the MVP and took them to the finals, only to lose to Chicago, like many teams did back in the day. So we actually have some Suns gear hanging around the house here.
Oh, that's a lot of fun, and I know that I just appreciate the fact that I hope the whole series goes to seven. I know that probably stresses out all the Suns fans, but I like it as an observer. I'm not for either team, but just be a fun time. And I know, Brian, you always want to leave us with kind of a biblical precedent for things that people can think about as they consider their own financial plan.
Yeah, I always love to include scripture and the biblical principles, and today's verse is from Proverbs. It's Proverbs 13:11, and I think it applies really well to people who feel like they might want to speculate into commodities. And it says, "Wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it." So avoid hasty speculation, avoid the temptation to get rich quick, and look for a path that is steady, and that's a way to honor God with your wealth and not lose it all.
Yeah. Greg Hartenbauer and Brian Cochran with John Moore Associates, we appreciate you gentlemen very much. We can't wait to talk to you next week. Greg, nice to meet you, and we hope you'll join the show again soon.
You too. I'd like that. Thanks so much.